we stand here and we pray for our brother Bob, and we know that, Lord, you have blessed him, that you've raised him up, and we rejoice in that. And Father, we rejoice now in the word that you've laid upon his heart. We pray, Lord, that he bring it forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Lord, as he's always speaking about being led by the Spirit, we pray that you would lead him this morning through the Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Oh, since, Kenny, this one's for you. Since Pastor John Don walked away with my notes today, I'll just turn it over to him. No, don't do that. You'll take it over. Don't go get my notes back. You're giving all my secrets away.
I was just going to say real quick, you know, you go into the panic when you're prepared, and all of a sudden you look and your notes aren't there. And I say, if anybody, he's always talking about being led by the Spirit, I say, okay, we're going to put him to the test today. And Beth took your notes. I can't believe you would do that, Beth.
You know, we're going to talk later.
Ed was talking in his class about the guy that stole the little bit of paper. I don't know what else you've been taking from this church, but we're going to find out. Bob?
I probably wouldn't have needed him anyway. Yeah. I told Ed after he stole half of my message this morning anyway, I could have just borrowed his notes. Amen? Amen. All right, now the drama's over. I, of course, am going to speak on the Holy Spirit this morning. And I kind of give a halfway title of, you know, we're always saying Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right? Pastor John's favorite saying. But I'm going to start off with that this morning. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Why three times? Because at the beginning of everything, there is the Holy Spirit. Through the middle of everything that we do and go through, there is the Holy Spirit. And of course, at the end or conclusion of everything that goes on, everything that we do, there is the Holy Spirit. Amen? So next time you hear Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you'll know what that means. I thought I'd start off today by maybe talking about a few things that the Holy Spirit isn't. Sometimes it helps us to know what something isn't, to know who he is. There's a lot of churches that are really confused when they speak about the Holy Spirit. They speak as if it is what they use instead of he, is some mystical force, like the wind blowing to and fro. Some even refer to him as like lightning. Where does it come? Where does it go? Maybe fire. Even some. Now, these are actually what churches use to describe the Holy Spirit. It's like electricity. What is electricity like? I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd like to pray for electricity. The Holy Spirit isn't some mystical mist, fog, something like that. He's even been, this is the truth, that there's one denomination, cult I'd call it, that says the Holy Spirit is like radio waves. He's everywhere. It's everywhere. They hardly use the term he. It is everywhere. Now, we know that right off that's wrong, because the Holy Spirit is a unique being, and he's part of the Trinity and part of the Godhead, right? It's not an it. It's not a fog. He's a being, and he's always been, and he always will be. He didn't just pop up at Pentecost. As we're going to see in a minute, the Holy Spirit has always been here. He was here even before, as old as I am. He was here before me. Two, we have to remember that sometimes there's churches and denominations that believe in the Holy Spirit, but they make them like a second-class citizen. They put them on the bench. They say he's a bit actor. He's not a starter. We don't need him today. That's a lie from hell. Every one of us sitting here need the Holy Spirit. You cannot really lead a fruitful Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Amen? I've often used the example that our world is designed for people with sight. Amen? We all agree this world is designed. Most cars are designed for people that can see. You know? Being a Christian without the Holy Spirit is like a blind person making it in a sighted world. I've seen some blind people do some excellent job at it. But they can't do it as well as somebody with two eyes, can they? No. And by the same token, without the Holy Spirit, we can never be the Christians, the effective Christians that we're meant to be. We might get to heaven. We will get to heaven as long as you've turned your life over to Christ. But what have you done for him? He tells us he wants, I think it was Donovan or someone talked on obedience today, mentioned obedience. I forget who that was. How can we be obedient without the Holy Spirit? We can't. The Holy Spirit has always been around and has always played an important role or part in everything. Genesis 1:2. He was there at the very beginning. I know Pastor John talked about these already, but this is important for us to know, that the Holy Spirit is always around, has always been here, and is an integral part of everything that goes on. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God. At the very beginning, even before I was created, the Holy Spirit was here when the world was created. That's pretty important. You don't take a second string man for that, do you? No. He helped in the creation of man in Genesis 1:28. We wouldn't be sitting here if not for the Holy Spirit. No one would in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." God is speaking, what did he say? Our image, our likeness, the plural, right? The Holy Spirit was there when we were created, helped create us. You know, he'd done a better job at some of us than others. You know, not everybody's as pretty as I am, but he did his best. In Psalm 104, verse 30, when you sent your spirit, they were created. Sent your spirit. The spirit is always there. And in Job 33:4, the spirit of God has made me. We can all say that, right? He even helped in the physical creation of Jesus' earthly body, didn't he? Luke 1:35, I think Pastor John mentioned this one last week, too. I'm going over, I know we've heard these, but these are things that we really need to get a good basis and understand about the Holy Spirit. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and be called the Son of God." He also helped in the formation of the church. We wouldn't be sitting here together as brothers and sisters without the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, right at the beginning, the Holy Spirit was poured out. The church wouldn't have started without that. The church wouldn't continue without that. But we can't say the church would end without that leadership, without the Holy Spirit. I know I couldn't do anything. It's through his power and strength that I'm able to do anything. You know, maybe there's a few of you sitting here I'd give a prophetic word to. It wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now I'll give you a verse in a little bit to explain that. But we have to realize that the Holy Spirit is not something that was sent because of a mistake we made. The Holy Spirit is not Mr. Fogg, and he's here today. There are churches, too, that say the Holy Spirit was only for the beginning of the church. How old is the church? 2,000 years? How long is the church going to last? Pastor, how long is the church going to be here? Let me sum it up in two words, forever and ever, and ever, and 2 days after that. So we're only 2,000 years into forever. Is that the beginning? This is still the beginning of the church. Even if what they said was true, but the Holy Spirit's going to be here all the way through this. We can't run and do anything without him. And I thought that's what I would kind of take a look at today. What is the Holy Spirit doing for us today? Amen? Is he reverent today? Do we need him? Okay, let's take a look. Let's think of some of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us today. Ed stole this one this morning. First thing is he speaks to us. Has the Holy Spirit ever spoke? I listen to the Holy Spirit more on the radio. He speaks to me more than the radio does sometimes. I don't even have the radio on in my car. He says, go do this, go do that. Almost as bad as Pastor John. But we have to remember the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. We have to listen for that small, still voice. And usually his voice isn't that small or still. We just don't want to hear him usually. We want to hear the good things he has to say, but we don't want to hear when he asks us to do something that's, a mite uncomfortable. And we're uncomfortable with doing a lot of things, aren't we? In Acts 8:29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. The Holy Spirit told Philip, talk to him, right? Didn't send him a message, wasn't a radio wave. He talked to him. The Holy Spirit talks to us as if he knows us. Oh, he does know us, that's right. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, here's another one you used, Ed. The Spirit said to him, Simon, 3 men are looking for you. Spoke to Peter. The Holy Spirit speaks to us quite a bit. Give you some examples in my life. I always tell the story of one time. This was when Billy Joe's Fruit Market was in the area in Allen Park. This was probably one of the first times the Holy Spirit really spoke to me in a powerful way for me to do something. You know, little things, but this was a little bit intimidating at the time. I'm standing in line with, you know, some bread, some lunch meat. I was going to make me a sandwich. And it was kind of a long line. There was maybe 4 or 5 people in front of me. And as clear as you're hearing me, I heard the Holy Spirit say, see that guy up there? I think it was the second guy in line. I want you to go up and tell him this. What? Didn't even tell me what to tell him. Just go up and tell him this. Okay. All right, I'm about dumb enough to do this, Lord. So I went up to him, and he had a message for him. He said, now I didn't know this guy from nobody. I said, you're standing in line here because your dad just passed away. He had a big load of stuff he was taking to the funeral home. I said, God has a word for you. I don't remember it exactly offhand. Everything, yes, thank you. Pastor remembers stories better than I do. I said, that's what the Holy Spirit, everything is going to be okay. That he knows that you had, his dad was a pastor and ran a local church in the Downriver area here. And that he was working with him for a while, but I guess they had a misunderstanding. And he had walked away. He was estranged from his father and had left the church. And when his dad passed away, it was the first time in maybe 5 or 10 years he had been back. It had been a while. And I told him, you know, the Holy Spirit wants you to go back. You're never going to be happy unless you go back and do what you're called to do. And that was basically it. I don't know any more than that. I was just hoping that I didn't blow it. You know, it's the first time I ever spoke a word like that. I thought, oh my goodness, was that really God? Was that really the Holy Spirit using me, of all people? And did the guy accept it? I didn't know. Sharon isn't here today, I see, but she was the secretary at the time. And when I got done talking with the gentleman, I gave him one of our church cards, put my name on the back. And he'd called the church. And Sharon wouldn't give him my number, but she said that she would give him a message. And I called him back. This was a few months later. And he'd made peace with God, turned his life back over to him, and was now running that church that might have died if he hadn't have stepped in and did that. Now, why did God use me? He could have used anybody. You're not special because the Holy Spirit uses you. Is a radio good because it plays good music? No. It's a sender. It's the Holy Spirit. Remember, he uses mules to give his word if he wants, so don't think you're something special. But he loves obedience, and he honors and blesses that we heard this morning, obedience. Amen? And I'll give you one other story to go along with it that he speaks to us. It's kind of go along with what was going on today with the Crisis Pregnancy Center. My wife and I were in a restaurant. Lord knows I like to eat. Right? And I think you remember this, hon. It was like a $25 bill, a little over 20 bucks. I think we had a couple steak burgers or something. But the Holy Spirit said, I want you to give the young lady a $50 bill. Tell her to keep the change. Now, how do you know I had a $50 bill in my wallet? Right? My wife, I'd hear it from the wife. She didn't even know. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to give that to her and tell her to keep the change. I said, well, I don't know if I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit. I said, honey, what do you think? She said, if the Holy Spirit said to do it, shut up and do it. Okay. Words of wisdom there. I was kind of hoping, well, don't, you know, maybe you ought to pray or something. Go get three other opinions. But I didn't. She was, oh, all thankful, you know. You give me a 50? Yeah, keep the change. And as I was leaving, as we were leaving, I was going to the little boy's room before I left. And she caught me there in the hallway. And she thanked me again. And she told me a story that her and her boyfriend had had a child out of wedlock. She wasn't very old. And her parents wanted her to have an abortion. But she went to I don't even know which one, a crisis pregnancy center, and they had talked her in to keeping the child. She said, well, so far, so good. But she said, about yesterday, my boyfriend had been living with my parents, him and I, and they won't do anything. They said, you have to take care of the baby. Had left her and took all the money they had. Saved up. Real nice guy, ladies. And she said, I was thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't have kept this baby. Maybe I should have given it away. Maybe I should have aborted it. But she said, I see now that this is what God wanted me to do. So, it was $25, honestly, didn't mean that much to me. But it meant everything to her. But the point is, I didn't know this. When somebody waits on you or something, she's a nice lady, just took my heart. I didn't know anything about her life, but the Holy Spirit did. And he uses each and every one of us to do this, to do his work. Amen? Amen. So always be listening. I don't know what that little bit have done, how she might be used later, how that child's going to be, grow up and be. We don't know. Only God knows. But I've already gotten my blessing in just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Quit crying here, Pastor. You're going to get me doing it. So remember, the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us today. No matter where you're at, the Holy Spirit is there speaking to you. Sometimes it takes a little effort on our part to stop and listen. We're in a world where we're getting bombarded with so much stuff, right, coming at you, that sometimes it's hard for us to filter out the Holy Spirit. That's why we need, once you get to know somebody, you spend some time with them. If I called you up on the phone and said, hi, Raj, I wouldn't have to tell you my name. You could tell my voice, right? We should be the same way with the Holy Spirit. among all the clatter, all the chatter, all the other voices. Just like Jesus said, the sheep know my name. We should hear, know his voice. We should know the Holy Spirit's voice. It's hard to explain, but once you've heard his voice, there'll never be any doubt again when he speaks to you. All right, here's another thing he does for us today. He positions us in the right place at the right time. It's Pastor Don here like a big chess game. In Acts 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And see, now the Holy Spirit's leading him, positioning him, speaking to him. And all we hear is Philip what? Saying nothing. Just doing what he's told. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man in the chariot said, well, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Phil to come up and sit with him. The eunuch asked Phil, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Receiving Christ. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Phil and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. Then they come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Now that's a real position change. Just suddenly took him away, and the eunuch went on his way, a changed man that was going out to change other lives. Amen? He positions us around where we have no idea. Does a pond know what's going to happen when somebody sits down on a chessboard? No. Same way, we never know what the Holy Spirit is going to do with us. But is it our job to ask? Does a pond need to know where it's going to go? No. It's the one moving that pond that needs to know the big plan. We could never fathom God's plans, how he touches so many lives all at once, and how he uses one and the other to touch each other's life. We never know. Talk about positioning and moving. I had, before I have the car I have now, I had a Chevy Impala. Everybody's got a Chevy Impala, right? You can't throw a rock without hitting a Chevy Impala. I had a flat tire. I'd busted my tire, and it couldn't be fixed, so I had to go buy a new tire. It was probably, I think, that year Impala was the best-selling car in the United States. So I go to Bell Tire. I need a tire. Well, I'm sorry. We're out. What? They said, well, maybe go to the one in Southgate. I think I was at the one in Lincoln Park. We'll go to the one in Southgate. Okay. Go to Southgate. Hi, what can I do for you? Oh, I just need a tire for my Impala. Oh, sorry, we're out of that size. What? Now I'm thinking something's going on here. And I say, well, you know, maybe I ought to pray. Everything else has failed, always pray, right? So I said, Lord, what are you trying to do here? I don't understand this. And I heard him say, without a doubt, you know this little tire place here on Schaefer and Oakwood, yeah, Budget Tire? I'm thinking, well, how does the Holy Spirit know? Does he go there? Does he take his chariot there? How does he know this place? I said, okay, and I'm way down Southgate. I said, well, that's right by my house. Why don't you tell me that one is in that direction? So I go there. I didn't listen. You're absolutely right. I was just out to get a tire. I didn't need the Holy Spirit. Well, was I wrong? I get there, and I no sooner walked in, and I could tell something was going on. They're kind of running around, a little frantic. And, you know, I'm kind of patiently waiting there. And the one guy looks up, and these famous words, Say, aren't you go to that church down there? Aren't you something in that church? I've been called something, yeah. He said, this was one of the guys that worked there, said, my grandmother's just been rushed to Oakwood. They say she's going to be all right, but she's not believing them. She wants somebody to come and do the last rite. She's cutting. She won't take medicine. She won't cooperate till she sees a priest. They said, we can't get a hold of our priest. I said, well, you know, I'm not a priest. She don't know that. So, okay. I go down there and, you know, I pray for her is basically what I did. I prayed for her. And she was fine after that. She has to have her medicine. She says, I'm now at peace with God. You know, till this day, I still get good service there. But who would have thought a simple thing like that would have made a difference, you know, for me to be at that place at that exact time, right? And they did have my tire, too. I had to wait till I come back, but they had my tire. There's so many instances of that happening. If we stop and think, everybody, Jenny Lindenbauer gave a good one today of how that happened. The timing was perfect in your marriage, right? Amen. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, he's going to make a way. He not only positions you, but he positions the whole world around you if he wants something done. Another story, I've told this one a couple times. Donna's not here, is she? No. My wife and Don and I had went to a woman had been in this church that was no longer in church, but we'd come here quite a while. An aunt or uncle or uncle had died. And Sharon and I and Donna, I think Pastor John had asked us if we could go. He couldn't go that day. It was during the day. He knows I'm a bum and don't work. So, of course, call on Bob. But we went to represent our church here because it had been a big part of her life. She was a very faithful member. And we go into church. It's a Baptist church. It's the only thing I knew. We found it, and they were going to have a big dinner afterwards. And the minute I heard Baptist church, one thing come in my head, fried chicken. If anyone has been to a little function after a Baptist meeting, they have some ladies that can cook some fried chicken. Believe me. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't place me, but I strategically found me a seat close to the back so I could get to the dinner table real fast. But I'm sitting there. I figured it wouldn't be too long, but this place was packed. There was probably 500 to 600 people there. I'm thinking, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And they start the service, and this man was a very well-known man. I guess he had attended a couple Baptist churches up here and was very important. He was always working, doing things. He retired and went down to Florida and was doing the same thing there and had been a member of a couple of the churches down there and was very influential. Everybody loved this guy. So at this wake or funeral, memorial service, whatever it was, they had 5 pastors speaking. My goodness. It was 2.5 hours. And right in the middle of it, I think it was the last pastor, next to the last pastor, got up to speak. You know, like I said, I'm just sitting there wondering when the chicken was coming out. And the Holy Spirit said, Bob. Yes. See that guy? Yes. I got a word for him. I want you to give it to him. This guy, this is a pastor. This was a big church. This pastor, you know, we've heard Pastor Don and Pastor John both say how goofy people come in here and try and give them words. And I'm thinking to myself, now you want me to be one of those goofy people? Now this guy does not know me. I said, took a deep breath, said, okay, God, if this is really you, I'll be happy to do it, but you have to make a way because I don't know what to do. So I'm sitting there. Like I said, it was a 2.5 hour service. And these people must have been very legalistic because during that 2.5 hours, nobody got up and went to the bathroom. Now I'm sitting there. I got to go to the bathroom. But nobody is getting up and going. I'm not going to be the one to do it, you know, make look foolish. So wait till it's over, and I guess everybody had the same idea. So it was over. It was like a stampede to the bathroom. They only had two bathrooms. Huge church, it only had two bathrooms. And there's a waiting line. There must have been 20 guys in front of me, maybe 30 behind me or 50 because I ran. And I go in, you know, I mean, it's small. I mean, you get bumping into people, and you know, guys don't do that in the bathroom, bump into each other. Trying to get over there, and I'm washing my hands. Ah. And I look over, and there's a guy next to me. He said, hi. He said, you a friend of the family? And I looked over, and it's the pastor, the guy that the Holy Spirit had told me to give a word to. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I look around. Nobody is there. Nobody. 2 seconds before this, I couldn't even walk through this place. There was 20 guys in like a 7x7 room. There's nobody there. Me and him. I said, all right, Holy Spirit, you've had your way. And I didn't even know what to say till I opened my mouth. And it was kind of, I won't go into detail, but I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I have a word for you. And he's washing his hand. I see him turn his head kind of. And I knew what he was thinking. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, okay. But that didn't stop me. I'm on a mission here, right? I said, God told me to tell you that everything is on the right path, that you just got a member in. He was Hispanic, and he was a great guy. Everybody loved him when he got there. First Mexican in the whole church, right? But everybody loved the guy. But all of a sudden, this guy's really evangelistic. He started bringing other people with him, other different Mexicans and Hispanics. And there were some of the older people there that didn't like this. They were having meetings on this. They didn't know, well, is this really God? Or isn't it? You know, we're starting to lose people. And the word was said from God was, your church is going to die. Your church was going to die. That's why I sent these people. And this guy, you know, by this time he's, because these were private meetings. I wasn't there. But he thanked me very much. Then I went and got my chicken and went home. Could that have saved their church? I don't know. Again, it wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit, right? I felt good afterwards. I felt so good I had an extra piece of chicken. But the Holy Spirit positions us today in places where he wants to use us. Not only us, but those he wants us to minister to, he puts right there. You can run, but you can't hide from the Holy Spirit. Also, today, now, the Holy Spirit still calls us to service and to serve. In Acts 13:2. When they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit called them. And that's the way it is today. Still today. How many here voted for Pastor John to be pastor? Raise your hands. Well, how'd you get elected? Ain't nobody voted for you. Right? Oh, Pastor Don, you did? Okay. Are you a citizen? I'd like to see a birth certificate, okay? No. He wasn't voted in by... It was the Holy Spirit picked Pastor John, brought him here, if you've ever heard his story, and positioned him in a place that he was supposed to be. He needed this place as much as this place needed him. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit is the one that chooses and sets apart people for service. The pastors, all the elders, all the deacons, they didn't get voted in. Look at it. It's sure not because they're pretty, right? I know, he'll have the microphone, I know. Take advantage while I'm up here. But it's the Holy Spirit that chose the men that are here to do what they're doing. No one else. Amen? And that goes all the way to the children's church, ushers, and every one of the men and ladies and men that are sitting here that are teachers on the Tuesday classes, the Sunday class, the Monday, the Friday, the Wednesday. I think we have a teaching class every week. It's the Holy Spirit that chose you and gave you that gift of teaching. Amen? It's only the pastor's job to recognize that gifting. But he's still the one that calls us to service, picks us out, and sets us aside to do his work. He guides us and leads us. You know, he's not behind pushing. He's not pushy. He's in front of us like a true leader. Come on. Come on with me. Guiding us. Follow me. Let's go over here. Leading us. In John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. You want to understand the Word of God? I've heard a lot of people say to me, I read the Word and just don't understand it. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is speaking, God is speaking. Amen? And he will tell you what is yet to come. Ed, that's where you get your prophetic words, right? The Holy Spirit tells you these things, sits you aside, and gives you words. No one else. It's not by human means. Do you think I could tell you what's going to happen in the future? I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. I don't know the past. How in the world could I know the future? Amen? That is the Holy Spirit. That's why we need him. He doesn't need us. If I didn't do what he'd asked, he'd find somebody else. His job is going to get done. His plan is going to get done. I would have just missed a blessing. And I am very greedy. I do not want to miss a blessing. I write this down. Bob loves blessings. Amen? He stops us. That's one of his jobs today. I could have used him back in the days when I was a drunk and a junkie. Stopped me from picking on somebody twice my size. Riding around my car when I could only open one eye. But thank God he's here today to stop us, right? Because I'm just as silly then as now as I was then. Yes, I still need his protection. In Acts 16:7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. The Spirit would not allow them to. A lot of times, Pastor Don up there, wave again, Pastor, you there? There you are. You kind of blend in with the wall, I'm sorry. That's a joke. Okay, you can laugh. They won't even laugh, they're afraid. He's way back there and you're afraid of him? I am too. He's going to get me later, I know. But Pastor Don tells a story about being in the police force. They were looking for a guy that had shot somebody or robbed something. And he had ran into a junkyard, I believe. When they find, and Pastor Don was Pastor Don being the brave man, he was going to go in after him. But the Holy Spirit said, Pastor Don, you big dummy, don't go in there. And he listened. He said, for some reason, he didn't. Then later, I guess, when he did catch a guy, he said, I was back there holding a gun. If you had come in, I would not have hesitated to kill you. Right? That's the Holy Spirit. He stops us. Pastor Don wouldn't have been sitting here today if he hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit isn't any help to us unless we listen. And not just listen, obey. Amen? To back up just 1 second on where I said he guides us and leads us today, I had a story on that one I was going to share. One day at home where the wife is cooking, and she had to open up a can. I guess she was giving me beans or something. I don't know. But the can opener broke. I said, don't worry, hon. You know, we had one of those hand ones. I couldn't use that thing. I was about to lose 4 fingers. I said, look, let me run to the store and get one. Now, there's all kind of stores close to here. I was thinking, which is the closest one, right? Because whatever's in that can, I guess I wanted to eat. Jumped in my car, and the Holy Spirit said, go to Sears. Sears? I said, they might charge more than maybe Kmart's down here or something. You know, Lord, you know I'm cheap. He said, go to Sears. Just like that. Okay, I'm going to Sears and get me a can opener. Okay. I get to Sears. I go in the back, find the cheapest can opener. Again, I said, I'm cheap. It was on sale. Thank you, Pastor. It was on sale. Great, great price, right? It was probably the cheapest one there. It's just a can opener. So I get it, and I go in to get in line. Not paying much attention, just, you know, whistling. Three or four people ahead of me. I get up to the lady at the counter, and I'm not even paying any attention to her, honestly. I'm digging for some cash or a card, and I hear those famous words again. Hey, don't you go to that church? I look up, and I recognize the lady. It took a second, but she used to go here. I said, yeah. I said, I remember you. She said, I remember you too. She said, there's a better can opener. Let me take you back here. And there's like two or three people behind me. And I'm thinking, I know I got the best can opener. She takes me back there and she said, well, I lied to you. She said, you got the best can opener. But she said, I need some prayer. I guess that day as she left, her husband, or not husband, I'm sorry, the gentleman she was living with, had told her when she comes home, he wasn't going to be there. He was taking his things and leaving. And I guess the place, she wouldn't have enough money to continue living where she was at or anything. So she said, would you pray for me? Well, of course I will. So I start praying for her. And, you know, this is hard to believe, but I got a little excited and a little carried away, and I guess I'm praying in tongues, getting a little bit loud in the middle of the can opener aisle on the second floor of Sears. And I get done, you know, she's crying, and, you know, and I look, and there's about eight people like this. Two of them were the people in line in front of me holding their can opener. What? Now, you tell me it was by accident that he placed me there. It wasn't. That's the Holy Spirit again, guiding us and leading us where we're going to be doing something. The more you listen and the more you do, the more he'll ask of you. Is that fair? Yes, that's fair. If you remember the story of the talents, he gave 1 4, 1 2, 1 1, right? The one that they give 4 to did the best job. The talent that was left, the one that didn't do good, who'd he give it to? More work for the one with 4. Every talent and gift you have, God's given you. He expects you to use it. He is never going to ask you to do something that he has not given you the ability to do. Amen? All right. He also intercedes for us. In Romans 8:27. Says his Spirit is always there, interceding for us. And Lord knows, John, you need that, don't you? Somebody intercede for us. Amen. I know every Tuesday I tell him, pray for me, John, I need it. He also helps us make decisions. I remember telling my wife 2 years ago, I said, God told me to move. Or I said us, I think. She looked at me like, you big dummy, what are you talking about? I said, we were going to die there. I'd fixed up our house. You know, I'm going to die here. You know, they're carrying me out of here. I ain't going nowhere. House is paid off. I don't care. God said in 2 years ago, again, are you kidding me? Almost 2 years to the day, we got the house and we've moved. It was the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's going to be happen, what's going to be done there. I know that... Marty, Wendy is here. Marty had said that just by coincidence, a guy that he works with that he's ministering to lives right behind me. There was a young man come at service this morning from South Rockwood. Are you here? Okay. Of all things, I told him where I lived. He lives in the area. He said, oh, yeah, this guy I know real well lives right next door to you. He said, he needs prayer. Again, God makes the decisions. We don't. You want to make a bad decision? You make it. You want to make a good decision? Let the Holy Spirit do it. Well, I'm going to sum up here with the last but the most important thing that he does today. Acts 1:8. And this is the main purpose of the Holy Spirit then and today. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why is the Holy Spirit here? To give us power. To do what? To be his witnesses. What's a witness do? Simply tell what you saw. Right? If you've been saved today, you can be a witness of what God's done in your life. That's all he asks. And he's giving us the power to do that. And as we've heard today, so much more. Amen? But now you're asking the age-old question, but Bob, what do I get out of this? Somebody's asking that, right? Let me tell you what you'll get out of it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the what? Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who here needs more love? Who here needs more? Don't raise your hands. I'll talk about it. Don't raise your hands. It wasn't a question. In the heart. It was a question. I got a lawyer against me now. Whatever it is, you're right, sir. Every time I get in front of a judge or a lawyer, I never do well, you know. Thank you, sir. But how many of us need more love, more joy, more peace, more self-control? That's what we get out of this. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have these things. Sometimes we're good at burying them way down. But he gives us that shovel to dig that stuff out of the way to where we can get it again. Amen? Amen. All right. Could I have the prayer team come up? Thank you. Thank you. Prayer team. You know how these guys got on the prayer team? We had a vote out back one day. We were sitting at the picnic tables, voted who we want on the prayer team. Again, these people, God set them apart. When you need prayer, these are the people to go to that are right up here. Amen? Guys, give them a gift. Don't hit me, Ed. I was picking on you. I'm sorry. All right, we got the young guns here today. You add up all our ages, still doesn't come to mind. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you first chose us. The greatest gift that you give us was our salvation, Father God. There's no way that we could ask for anything more than that, that you give us eternal life. But Lord, you loved us so much that you did give us another gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit, Father God, to guide us, to direct us, Father God, to show us what we need to do, Father God. We thank you for that gift. And Lord, may we never quench your spirit. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You need more of any of this, come on up for prayer. These guys will be happy to pray for you. Amen? Amen. In the back there's candles. Don't forget the candles. On your way out, they're there in the back. Please take them and put them on your porch. They're important. Despised and rejected.
rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Hands that heal nations, stretched out on